I'm taking all them back to Orlando. Hallelujah. Karen said, nope. As she said, I'm Reverend Terry Seed Pearson. I'm from Joy MCC, and I thought about it this morning in the shower. You know, that y'all say everything's bigger in Texas. Everything's gayer in Orlando. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Much to the chagrin of our governor, but I dream a world where love overflows, right? Hear now this scripture from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. All praise goes to God, parent of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. God is the creator of compassion, the God of all comfort. God consoles us as we endure the pain and hardship of life so that we may draw from God's comfort and share it with others in their own struggles. For even as Jesus' suffering continues to flood over us, through the anointed we experience the wealth of God's comfort just the same. If we are afflicted with such trouble and pain, then we know it is so that you might ultimately experience comfort and salvation. If we experience comfort, it is to encourage you so that you can hold up while you endure the same sufferings we all share. Remember that our hope for you stands firm, unshaken and unshakable. That's because we know that as you share in our sufferings, so you will also share in our comfort. Will you pray with me? God, we come opening up your word and attempting to find hope amid dreams that often get dashed by dead ends that we encounter. And so, God, open us up to receive what it is that you would have each of us individually and all of us collectively as we celebrate this 49th anniversary of Uprising. And thank you for this opportunity. God, many words will be spoken, but may only your word be heard in Jesus' name. Amen. I read once that dead ends often are doorways to God's deliverance. Dead ends. We've all found our way to them at some point. Growing up, there was a dead end at the end of our street, and there was the dead end stopped because there was a creek that flowed between our neighborhood and the neighborhood across from that. And we would often go to the creek, and there was a tree that had fallen over, and we'd walk across the tree to get to the other side to visit some of our friends, but along that, and we were allowed to do that part. But there was a tree further down the creek that had a rope hanging to it, and people would grab the rope and fly across the creek and come back, and we were not allowed to do that. But one day, the temptation was just too much, so I went out and did it. And of course, I fell, of course. And so I come home wet, and my mama knew. So for the first and only time in my life, I was put on restriction and missed one of my popular friends' parties at school, and it just messed me up. Dead ends will do that to you, won't they? Dead ends. Last week, Hurricane Helene created dead ends all along her path from the Big Bend of Florida through the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee. Dead ends were created all along her path up the southeast. Here are sampling of some of the dead ends created courtesy of this incredible storm. Dead ends of destruction. Then here's an apropos picture of the power outages that Helene left in her wake. You can see, there's another slide of the, it's blue with the red. You don't see it. I wish I could see it, it's really good. Anyway, you just imagine. There's a path of outages right up where the path went, and many folks are still without power and water and cell coverage. Millions of people were left in the dark after an unexpected storm destroyed their homes and surroundings while continuing to rage hundreds of miles from any coast. So for our consideration this morning, I would offer up these questions. What do we do when life takes an unexpected twist and leaves us facing dead end after dead end? What do we do when darkness leaves us devastated? What might God then want to remind us as we face these situations where dreams are dashed and we're just facing dead ends? We've all found our way to them at some point, right? Perhaps your dead ends didn't prevent you from going to the popular kids' party at school, but you have endured the kind of storm of hurricanic proportion where you suffered these types of dead ends, a dead end described more like a dreaded diagnosis that deemed you no longer able to complete the career you had dreamed of, or the HIV status you received in the 80s that was a death sentence for you at that time, and perhaps it didn't kill you, but it killed many, many of our friends, right? Or foreclosure signs, or that eviction notice posted on your front door because housing isn't affordable and employee wages haven't kept up with the soaring costs of living, and, you know, there's always more month than money. Oh, and corporate greed is at epidemic levels in our world, another dead end. Hospital bills created credit card debt that got out of control, ultimately creating the bankruptcy claim that ruined your credit for at least the next 7-10 years. Dead end. Surprising pink slip you received that shifted your entire world, and now you find yourself navigating the red tape of the unemployment office while having to fill out applications for hundreds of jobs just to get your $300 check at the end of the week, another dead end. Or maybe it's the pregnancy test that keeps coming up negative, though you've dreamed of having a kid of your own since you were a kid. More dead ends. And then I thought about the dead end that Reverend Troy Perry, founder of the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, faced after being defrocked and losing his ministry in the Pentecostal church, along with losing his family when he came out as gay. That was a huge dead end, right? He further faced rejection when, after he came out, one of his first lovers broke up with him. And in the midst of MCC's history, we read that Troy said he saw no future for himself, only darkness. And amid this dark night of his soul, and while majorly distraught, Troy found himself alone in his apartment and in the bathroom, where as the tub was filling up with water, it quickly filled with blood that flowed from his wrists. This dead end could have ended much differently had his boyfriend not found him and gotten him medical care before it was too late. After these tragic dead ends, light came back on for Troy, and he found his way to God through an African-American woman who prophesied over him and told him that God had a new ministry for him. And then a while later, a friend of Troy's was wrongfully arrested for some ridiculous reason, but mostly because he was a gay man in the 1960s. And so Troy went to jail to bail Carlos out, and in the effort to comfort the inconsolable Carlos, Troy told him that God cared about him. And Carlos said, God doesn't care about me. And that desperate declaration hit Troy like a ton of bricks. Dreams like these ending in dead ends happen, don't they? They aren't uncommon. Another giant of our faith, a kid named Joseph, who was given the coat of many colors by his father, Jacob. I imagine it was a rainbow coat because I imagine he was one of us. That's just my fantasy. But anyway, he had grandiose dreams, and his dreams consisted of leading his family, though he was one of the youngest of Jacob's children. His dreams appeared to be self-serving because, you see, in Joseph's dreams, his brothers were bowing down to him. And his big dreams ended Joseph in the dead end of a pit, and then in the dead end of being sold into slavery by his brothers who were sick of hearing about their servitude amid Joseph's scandalous dreams. Joseph's reality was unlike his dreams since he was a teenager. His dreams then turned nightmarish. But I remind us of what I opened with. Dead ends are often the doors for God's deliverance and for the light to shine in that we proudly proclaimed last night at that tent revival. And for the record, y'all don't tell Orlando that I agreed to be outside for Catherine for 2 hours or more. What was I thinking? Y'all, I'm an indoor. I talked last night. I'm an indoor homosexual. Don't tell them because they'd be trying to have us a tent revival. It's too hot in Orlando for all that. Anyway, the scripture for this morning from the Apostle Paul's letter to the saints of Corinth speaks to those folks enduring such dead ends of hardship and suffering. And Paul tells us that amid this suffering that God is walking alongside us to comfort us and provide strength to endure the difficult days. And if you read Joseph's story, which is in the last third of the book of Genesis, and I highly recommend it, it's kind of like Real Housewives meets Survivor, merged with Family Feud on crack. If you find, you will find in the midst of that story that Joseph's dream technically comes true. You see, Joseph lands in Egypt due to his brother's attempt to get rid of him, to erase him, like my state has been trying to do to people of color and LGBTQ plus people, and y'all's state too, really. And while in Egypt, Joseph, through a myriad of further dead ends, including false accusations and subsequent imprisonment, ends up being at the right place at the right time to interpret Pharaoh's dream, which in turn predicted a famine that would wipe out much of the known world at the time, including the land of Israel, where Joseph's family still resided. Those hateful brothers would fulfill Joseph's dreams and indeed bow down to Joseph, who, through a series of promotions due to his prediction of the famine, allowed Egypt to prepare for the dead end of a worldwide epidemic. Pharaoh released Joseph from prison and promoted him to Pharaoh's court, the highest court in the land, and saints, what we learn in this story is that what others intended for his downfall became the very thing that God used to elevate him. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. What others meant for evil, God will always work for our good. Doors of deliverance opened at the end of his dead end. Won't God do it? Joseph had endured all types of trials and tribulation and ended up second in command of all of Egypt and came face to face with the perpetrators of his initial demise. Family members, no less. It often happens that way, doesn't it? Joseph could have returned evil for evil and provided, you might say, a well-deserved dead end for his brothers. He could have denied them sustenance that they needed because he was now controlling the food supply. But Joseph, he recognized that this dead end should no longer be a closed door, but that this dead end should serve as a doorway of deliverance, his family's deliverance, as well as his own. Here's what I mean. Joseph gave his starving family food, and by doing so, opened up a door for them. Furthermore, by providing for those who had harmed him, help anyway, Joseph opened the door to his own deliverance. Oh, hallelujah, somebody else. He could use this, and he did, as an opportunity to break down barriers that hate and bigotry had erected and allow love to win in his life and theirs. Saints, we have similar opportunities when we reach those dead ends of our dreams or in our lives. And so, for our consideration this morning, I would offer up that when we find ourselves at dead ends, that we see them as doorways to deliverance, that will allow our light to shine more brightly, having come through these trials by doing the following three things: remembering what God can do, relying on God's word for strength, and responding to these dead end situations with faith. So I want to begin with remembering what God can do. The Bible is full of stories of God doing impossible things. And I imagine these stories were recorded to help us when we face impossibilities that look an awful lot like dead ends. There's that time the Israelites stood between their enemies behind them and a body of water in front of them, and God parted the waters, and then they walked through on dry land. But you say, yeah, Pastor, that sounds good, but I can't relate. There are no pharaohs and Red Seas in my past. You may not have been slaves in Egypt attempting to leave a tyrant of a mighty nation, but you have been in an abusive situation, and someone came along and opened a door to you to a better life. You are, in fact, residents of the state of Texas, just as I am a resident of the state of Florida. And I mean that with the sincerity of my heart. We live in somewhat tyrannical places for those of us who are on the margins, right? The waters of a huge sea did not part, but you escaped a terrible relationship that felt like forced labor when God sent the right person to help you walk away from that dead-end relationship, and proverbial waters parted to bring you to a more secure, safe place. You may not have been part of the crowd of 5,000 that Jesus fed with the little boy's lunch, but when you were down to your last dollar and with no food in the house, someone offered to take you to dinner. And that open door opened the door for you having a conversation where you came out to your mother and you thought that was an end that would never come. Perhaps your sibling hasn't died, but you stood at the foot of your friend's bed and something was resurrected in your life in the midst of that. And doors open for you. When the door opens, it makes way for the light to come in. And when the light comes in, we can see more clearly what God can do. So, saints, when faced with dead ends, may we first remember what God can do, what God has done, what God will do, and watch for those dead ends to open doors of deliverance for each of us. And then as we face dead ends amid our dreaming, not only should we remember what God has done, but may we rely on what God has said. The first thing that came to me when I was considering this was Jesus saying in John chapter 10, "I am the door of the sheep." Jesus opens the door to all the sheep, the red, yellow, black, and white ones. You know, like the song we sang, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The gay, the straight, the bi, the trans, the non-binary, the intersex, the asexual, the allies. Jesus is the door. And here's where some folk get confused and twisted. They assume that, and you know what assume means, right? I don't need to tell y'all that part. You get me. That because they are Christians and that they consider themselves to be the gatekeepers of Christianity. And you know, unless you do it their way, typically the straight white male way, then you can't get in the door. Nah, boo-boo. You miss the entire point. Jesus is the door and opens it for all God's people, not just those you want to enter the fold. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Try to keep me outside of a door. Okay, just okay. When we are standing, saints, at the dead ends of our lives, may we remember what God has said. Jesus declared he is the door for all to enter, and his door doesn't need anybody's gatekeepers. Might we remember that as we enter that safe haven of God's fold, that Jesus told those who were weary and carrying heavy burdens that he would give them rest. When burned out fighting the gatekeepers and the naysayers and the political climate filled with hypocrisy and hatefulness, I take great comfort in the fact that Jesus promises me rest. Rest. Remember, even saints tire. And then I thought of this. When Jesus offers me rest, he offers me respite, energy, strength, and tenacity to face what is before me. We need all those things to fight the hatefulness that is legislated from our state government to our presidential campaigns in the not yet United States of America. I am also reminded that in the Word, Jesus boiled down the law and the prophets to this one commandment: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. As our brother last night said, y'all, he's going to be president one day. Don't y'all think? I think our representative's going to be the president. I sure hope so. When the world wants to throw misquoted, out of context, supposed literal scriptural content at us in an effort to control, manipulate, and further marginalize those who are already on the periphery of society, I am reminded that if it isn't loving, then it isn't from God. Amen. Enough said, right? Recently, I read a post that said something like, beware of any Christian movement that insists that it has so many enemies to conquer rather than so many neighbors to love. And then another one that said, and there's a slide for this one, Christianity should sound like I'm committed to deepening my love for others and seeking their best, and not I'm obsessed with how others are not conforming to my personal beliefs, and I must make them do so by any means necessary. Huge difference, right? One opens doors and the other slams it shut. When the door is slammed, when that door was slammed for Reverend Troy Perry and his friend Carlos that I mentioned earlier, Troy said he had a deeply spiritual moment with God. Troy asked God, if you want me to start a church with a specific outreach to the gay community, you just let me know. And Troy said in that still, small voice of God, he heard God say, now. The slam door of his initial dream flew wide open again. Troy's dead end created a door of deliverance for him, and all of us gathered in MCCs all over the world this very day, 56 years ago this morning. I'm so grateful. The one who opens doors also told us to shine our light so that others could see our good works and then glorify God who is in heaven. Your doors uprising are wide open. You are shining a light not only in Austin but across this state and across the world that is often dark for the LGBTQ plus community and our incredible allies. Your outreach to young folks, to children, to your shower trucks, your witness at the border. When you find yourselves in tough places, saints continue to rely on what God has said. And then I would suggest that when we are amid the dead ends of our dreams, that we respond by facing the facts with faith. Denying reality will say for our political politicians, and I'm just going to leave that at that here. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 4, without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He was 100, and Sarah's womb was also dead. She was 90. So Abraham did not waver through unbelief. And then the next verse says, no unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, that God would give him an heir so that Abraham would be the father of many nations. But Abraham grew strong in his faith, fully convinced that God was able to do just what God promised to do. Saints, when we face these dead ends, we may see them as mere doorways of opportunities for our dreams to eventually become reality. These stories within Scripture are reminding us that God is faithful to complete the good work God has begun in us. I don't know about you, but I got big dreams for my life. I've got big dreams for my church. I've got big dreams for your church. And I know you, Pastor, has really big dreams for this church. And I hope it's for all the people within earshot of my voice. I serve a God who is more than able to make all those dreams a reality. So as we stand amid dead ends of our lives, may we reimagine them as doorways of deliverance as we remember what God can do, rely on what God has said, and respond to these dead ends by facing the facts with faith and moving forward in it. When we do, our lights will shine brightly for the world to see. And who knows, perhaps it will lead more and more people to uprising. It is my prayer, saints, that you keep rising and shining brightly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.